everybody. I'm Maya, a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater.
Hey,
I'm Maya.
Really grateful member of this fellowship for 7 years now, and it's just been such a beautiful ride for me. I love being able to come back to this meeting, and it's kind of where I started. I kind of crawled in, as many of us do, just completely, hopelessly addicted to sugar. Could not get through the day without, eating something, some candy, some sugar, some pastry, some something, you know. And once I started, it would just continue on through the day. And I had no desire for any kind of real healthy food at all. I was just such an addict with it. And I was really unhealthy and very sick emotionally and spiritually and mentally as well. And I'll go back to the beginning and talk about, you know, how it was and what happened and where I am now. I grew up in a pretty dysfunctional family. There was alcoholism, and both my parents were compulsive eaters as well. And they would do these drastic, like, diets and deprivation stuff, and then they'd throw these lavish parties, and my mom was a baker, and she wasn't very equipped to be emotionally warm, loving, and affectionate. Neither of my parents really were. They were, like, hardworking, stern Finns who immigrated here from Finland, and there wasn't a lot of, you know, lightness and loving, affection or praise in my family. And I would come home from school, and I just clearly remember that love meant mom taking a big tray of some big, sweet, gooey baked thing out of the oven and putting it there and saying, "Here, have these." And that was love. You know, I just equated it from a very early age that that's where my comfort would come from. And I dove right into it. I remember I was, like, extremely overweight as a kid. I think I got put on my first diet when I was 8 or 9. And my father used to tease me about having to take me to get pants because, you know, he'd have to, like, you know, roll up the cuffs of the pants about, you know, 7 or 8 inches because I was, you know, so round and so short. And it was painful. It was really painful to grow up being a child that was fat and made fun of. And back in the 60s when I was young, it was brutal, you know. And my journey kind of continued. I got into junior high and went into puberty. That was fun. And then realized, oh, there's like diet pills and over-exercising. And, like, I was swung into that whole phase of, like, feeling like I was just going to be thin no matter what. And I was a crazy thin person for many, many years in high school and overachiever. And I remember, like, taking these little white cross tops that were all going all around, and I'd just, like, pop a few of those and be so perky and not have to eat anything and all day long, and then I would just, like, crash and burn. And and then my 20s, I kind of discovered that there were drugs and alcohol to kind of numb me out and keep me from really having to feel too deeply about where my despair really was. And so actually during those years, my weight was pretty stable because I was plugged into another addiction. And I got sober when I was 28 and had a huge wake up call with that. And life changed. I knew that at that point, I really needed to have a spiritual path. I knew that I needed to really start looking within and really starting to deal with some of the damage and the wreckage. And I did work the steps in our mothership program, and and stayed sober, thank God. But I kind of veered off track and didn't stay in 12-step, and I got back into isolation and ended up getting married and having a family in my shortly after I got sober, actually, in my early 30s, and life just took over, and I became a full-time mom and just completely focused everything on my kids and my family and left nothing for myself. All my personal growth that I had been working on was kind of put into the back seat. And so guess what I did late at night when I put everybody to bed and my husband was off playing his music and the kids were in bed? And that was my time with my friends, Ben, Jerry, and all the rest of them, you know. And I mean, that was when I would just sink into blissful oblivion. And I felt like I had no choice. I remember so clearly. One night, my kids were in bed. They were very young. It was about 10:30 at night. There was no ice cream left. I was picking up my keys and going, you really can't leave your kids alone in the house. This is crazy. And I'm like saying to myself as I'm walking out the door, yeah, I know, but I've got to get my ice cream. And that's what I did. And I'd come back and... Nice too. Yeah, so that pattern continued on and on and on, and I was so miserable. And I feel like it was really crucial, a big piece in the ending of my marriage, because I was so hateful and shameful of my body that I didn't want to be touched. I didn't want to, you know, I couldn't believe that I could feel attractive to anybody. I was so just seething with, you know, that horrid feeling that I had of just like, oh my God, this is the worst of the worst, you know, and here I am fat again and miserable and not knowing how to end it. I skipped over this part, but I did have a little stint in OA when I was in college. I found OA, and that was back in the 70s when they were still using the gray sheet. And I grabbed that gray sheet and adopted it and got really, I was a good dieter. You know, I really dieted well. I could set a goal and really lose those pounds. And that's what I did in OA. I used that little gray sheet, was my little Bible. I don't remember anything about the steps or sponsorship during that year that I was in the program. I would just go to these meetings and talk about how much weight I was losing and how great I was feeling. And I remember that summer just being on a high and feeling like I could go off and conquer the world. And I moved up to Lake Tahoe with my sister and proceeded to eat everything that I had been depriving myself of for the whole time I had adopted that gray sheet diet. And I put on about 30 pounds literally in about 6.5 weeks. I mean, it was like really dangerously sick. And I came back to college and my friends were like, what happened to you? And I was like, what are you talking about? You know, just like, psh. So I really suffered from this disease all my life and just been mortified that I'd go on these great diets or do these 90-day, you know, fitness plan things with all the programs and the goals and everything. And I'd reach that place and I would take out the magic size 6 Levi jeans out of my closet, which were always hidden on the top of the closet. And I remember towards the end of my roller coaster ride with compulsive overeating, how paranoid and terrified I was to put those jeans on, because I knew that if they fit me, that was going to be the beginning of the slow descent back up the scale, and there was nothing I could do about it. My mind was so rigged to think that once I'd lost the weight, I'd solved the problem, and that that was all I needed to do, and now I knew how to eat and what to do, and then eventually that little innocent box of See's candy would come around, and I'd be like, oh, I can do that. I haven't had sugar in so long, and off I would go, you know, and this disease, in my brain anyway, is very tricky, because it's very patient. And I would not, you know, like eat a piece of candy and then go sit in the parking lot and polish off a pie in my car. That's not how I did it. It would wait, and then 2 or 3 weeks later, I'd think, oh, I could have a little bite of that. Oh, sure, share your dessert. Why not? Oh, that's delicious. Thank you. Oh, no, I've had enough. Good. You know, like practicing the self-control in there. And yet, you know, within probably towards the end, because this is a progressive disease, it was like very, very quick that I would be back into double muffins in the morning with my latte. You know, it was just, I made myself so sick with food so many years. And then one day I had a friend I guess I didn't know it at the time, but it's the OA light, you know, in the eyes. And she was a really powerful leader. She was thin. She was beautiful. She was doing all this stuff with youth movement. I got into a group with my son who wanted to go build houses in Mexico. And we were talking one day, and we were all at the bowling alley, and I'm having my pizza and feeling miserable. And she's having this little green salad. And she started talking about how she was a compulsive overeater. And I said, well, I am too. And she's like, yeah, well, you know, I found a solution. It feels really good to be in the solution. And kind of planted a seed. And then a few few months later, I guess I was in the parking lot not wanting to go across the street and get my regular two bags of peanut M&Ms. Apologies for those people that are sensitive to trigger foods, because I know I'm letting them fly during my share here. So sorry, but I'm saying these names of these foods because I literally had an intimate connection with each one of them. I knew them so intimately, and there were certain brands and things that were my friends and my buddies and my lovers. And it was really important for me to have that specific thing. So I called her up one day and I said, boy, I'm just wishing I didn't have to go across the street there and you know, and do that thing. And she said, well, you know, if you want to, I'm speaking at a meeting this Saturday. Would you come and support me? I mean, how perfect was that? It's like, I could come and support her, but if she said, you really need to go to this meeting, I bet I would have never shown up. So I came. It was during the Jewish holidays 7 years ago. We were, people are shaking their heads. They remember when I came in the door. It was actually across the street in the park. And there was a beautiful group, a small group of people there, and they were, it blew my mind because they were talking about being compulsive overeaters, and they were sharing their emotions on a deep level and sharing their truth and their pain and their longing and desire for this recovery. And I was like, that's what I want. These are my people. This is where I belong. And I just felt, something in me felt so surrendered in that moment. Thank God that I was ready. I was so ready to get well in this program. And I think you need to be ready, you know. Well, you can be ready, but you need to be done with being in the disease. And I was so done. I was fried. And I grabbed my little newcomer person after the meeting and said, what's your number? What do I do? I read my little newcomer's pamphlet, you know, every page, even the copyrights, you know, at the back. I was just obsessed. And that's how I did my program. Not everybody does it that way, but I just did the deep dive into this beautiful fellowship. And I started going to as many meetings as I could, and I heard recovery in the rooms, and I started looking for miracles. I started hoping that there were miracles here for me. And when I put my attention on that, instead of looking at all of you and thinking about how different you are from me, and I looked at this for the similarities, I started to get well in this program, slowly. And I'm never going to be recovered from this disease. I feel like it's going to be with me my whole life. And that's okay, because I'm in the solution today. And I've been abstinent from sugar and flour. Not really flour, but gluten, definitely. I do have a couple things that have some refined, you know, whole flours in them. But nothing like I used to eat. No desserts whatsoever. No pastries, no pizza, bread, blah, blah, blah. They're all in the past, and I don't miss them anymore, and I don't crave them. I had to go through a grieving process with every one of those foods and let them go. And I had so much support in this program. If you're, I don't think there's any newcomers here, but if you're fairly new, reach out and grab the support in this program. There's so many people here. Our program works because what we get in this program, we're obligated to pass it on and share it with other people. And that's how we all get well together and stay well. So I stepped out of isolation. It's been a slow journey. I'm still working my way out of feeling like I'm, you know, the loner on the planet. But I'm doing so great with just really using these tools. And when I go into these little bottlenecks in my life, I've just been through one recently, and I'm kind of in this huge transition right now. I'm going to be digging deep into my program and my step work and my spirituality and my friends and my fellowship and picking up the phone and doing all those things that the addict in me just hates to do, because the addict just wants to kind of be in that little kind of cave like Gollum, you know, with the foods and just like, and I don't want to be there anymore. You know, I go, thanks for sharing. And I'm going to pick up the phone and call my friend and talk about my truth and say what I don't want to say, you know. It's been so important for me to just have rigorous honesty with myself. I know I'm running out of time, but I love this pamphlet. This was one of the first ones I read, A Commitment to Abstinence. And I just want to read this first little part here. It says, what is commitment? Commitment means to entrust, to put into safekeeping, to pledge oneself to a particular course. Hasn't this been our greatest problem, truly committing ourselves to refraining from compulsive eating on an ongoing basis? And it's so true. I mean, I had to just adopt the mantra, you know, no matter what, I was going to stay abstinent one day at a time. And I could do that. That's doable. Any one of us can do anything for 24 hours. And that's how I've pieced together this time in the program, is just one day at a time. If I started thinking about birthdays or Christmas or whatever, I was sunk. But if I thought just my next meal, just this next hour, just this next, until I put my head on the pillow, and then waking up the next morning, oh my God, to wake up abstinently in the beginning. And even now, today, I woke up this morning early and I was like, thank you, God, for another gift of a day of abstinence. And I get to do it all over again today. So my life is huge. It's getting so much bigger. That's probably time. So I'll wrap up real quick. And I'm going through big transitions, and I've been asking my higher power to make me available for more. More love, more goodness, more success, more prosperity. And man, is it just like, I'm getting the rain shower right now. And it's a little scary, but I've been able to get through everything abstinently all this time. And so I know that all the good, I can just kind of start learning how to receive it more and letting it in. And yeah, I'm just so grateful to be walking the path with you guys. And thank you so much for having me today and helping me celebrate my birthday. Thanks.